Amen, amen. Wow. Already, what a day. Can't wait till next week to hear these kids. What a blessing. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be scattered a little bit through Joshua. We're going to be in Joshua 10 for a few verses and a couple of verses in chapter 11. But we continue our journey, and how fitting it is. We've been able to kind of, God's been able to kind of match up the holidays as we've gone through. So you're going to talk a little bit about freedom too today. Joshua chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 28. And that day Joshua took Makeda and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof he utterly destroyed them and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain, and he did to the king of Makeda as he did to the king of Jericho. And Joshua passed from Makeda and all Israel with him into Libna and fought against Libna. The Lord delivered it also and the king thereof into the hand of Israel. And he smote it with the edge of the sword and all the souls that were therein. He let none remain in it, but did unto the king thereof as he did to the king of Jericho. Joshua passed from Libna and Israel with all Israel with him unto Lachish, or Lachish, encamped against it and fought against it. And the Lord delivered Lachish unto the hand of Israel, which took it on the second day and smote it with the edge of the sword, all the souls that were therein, according to all that he had done to Libna. And then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua smote him and his people until he had left him none remaining. And from Lachish, Joshua passed unto Eglon and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. And they took it on that day and smote it with the edge of the sword. All the souls that were therein he utterly destroyed that day, according to all that he had done to Lachish. And Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him unto Hebron, and they fought against it. And they took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, and the king thereof, all the cities thereof, all the souls that were therein, he left none remaining. According to all that he had done to Eglon, he destroyed it utterly, and all the souls that were therein. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to Debir, and fought against it, and he took it, and the king thereof, and all the cities thereof. Do I sound a little repetitive? And they smote them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the souls that were therein. He left none remaining, as he had done to Hebron, so did he to Debir and the king thereof, as he had done also to Libna and to her king. Verse 40, and Joshua smote all the country of the hills and of the south and of the vale and of the springs and all their kings. He left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea, even unto Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even to Gibeon. And all the kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all the Israel with him, unto the camp of Gilgal. Chapter 11, verse 4. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore, in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. These are some other neighboring kingdoms that rallied together, massive troop to come down and attack them. Verse number 11 of chapter 11. And they smote all the souls that were therein with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was not any left to breathe. And he burnt Hazor with fire. Father, we're thankful for this word. Wow, we see the repetition of battle that you provided for Joshua. You provided for all those warriors there as they went into that land to conquer it, God, that you provided and made a means. You made it possible. You gave them the land. You gave them the weapons. You gave them the power. You destroyed the enemies and annihilated them so they could come in and possess that land. We're thankful, God, as we reflect in our own country today of the freedoms we have, that you've conquered a land for us, that we were established on Christian principles, Christian beliefs. Believing in you, praying to you, God, is what this country was founded on. And we're thankful, God, for that foundation that has been built. We're thankful, God, when we believe and trust in you as Savior, that foundation that's built as well. I'm thankful for your forgiving me of my sins, setting me free from that bondage. And thank you so much, God, for all that you've done already this morning. We pray your continued blessings on the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Yeah, we think about going into the land. I know that was a lot of repetition. It seemed like they literally went from one city to the next city to the next city. That's exactly what they did. And I don't know the exact time frame of how long it took to do all this, but it happened pretty quick. They literally hopped from one city to the next and destroyed all these cities. And they didn't let any, I think it's interesting that he said, they didn't leave anybody in a city that breathed. Everybody was killed. God literally wiped all of these places out. So when we think about all that they had looked forward to, they were in Egypt, they were in bondage there, they finally were set free. They finally crossed the Red Sea, wandered for those 40 years, finally crossed over the Jordan. Now we're in the land, and now we're seeing them take possession of the land. They're getting what God had promised them. It's actually theirs. I wonder what conversations our forefathers had before we instituted this Declaration of Independence. I wonder the conversations that they really had. Like, wow, we're in this land, but we're still under the thumb. We're still under control. We're still under dictatorship, and we want freedom. We want to be our own people. And I guarantee you there were a lot of prayers went up in the early days of our country. I guarantee you there were. A lot of folks praying. When we read the documents as the Declaration, when we read some of the principles and things, historical documents of what our country was founded on, a lot of Christian beliefs are there. You see them. You see that our forefathers, a lot of them believed in Christ. They believed in God, and they knew that if we're going to have this land, it's going to happen because of one thing, because we're going to listen to God and we're going to follow Him. And because he's the only one that could have liberated us to become the nation that we are today. Amen. God is the only one. God's the only one that could have liberated Israel and given them that land and that hope and that promise. So we see God at work in Israel's history. We see God at work in our own history. And we see God at work in our individual lives too. Guess what? Till we got saved, we were under bondage, wasn't we? We were under that same bondage she was talking about this morning. We were bound. We were under the thumb and the control of this carnal flesh and of Satan. So entering into this land, I wanted to read all those battles because I wanted to get you in the mindset that the wars now for Israel are over. The wars are over. The battles are over. The land has been taken. So what happens next? Joshua chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 14. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. Neither left they any that breathed. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua took all the land, the hills, the south country, all the land of Goshen, the valley of the plain, the mountains of Israel, and the valley of the same. They literally spoiled the land. Now I know that God didn't allow them to spoil Jericho. Why? Because, well, that was a cursed city. That was the first fruits of the land of Canaan. We talked about that. That God said, this is mine. I don't want you messing with Jericho. I want you to trust me. Don't go in here and pillage Jericho. Let me have it. And I promise you, I'm going to give you all the spoil you're ever going to want. So we know Achan's sin and caused some problems there. But once they got the sin out of the camp, God said, as you enter on into this land, I'm going to give you the spoil of every other city that you go into and conquer. I thought about this before. You ever wonder how come it is that when they went into the land of Canaan, why was it inhabited? Why didn't the land just have, why wasn't it just beautiful land they can come in and start building things? Well, I think one reason is obviously God wanted them to put faith and trust in Him that if you're going to conquer this land, it's going to be by my strength and not by your strength. But look at all the spoil that they were able to capitalize on that was already there. I mean, it's almost as if God had a bunch of vaults with gold and silver and precious stones and all kinds of wonderful, expensive things that were setting in this land. They literally just had to go in and get it and take possession of it. It's kind of like God had a storehouse of wonderful things that if we get where we need to be with Him, we're going to be able to take possession of those things. So it reminds me of salvation. Did you know that God has a spoil for us? Now think about this. They went into the land. God said, I'm going to give you the spoil of all the cities. So that He let them just ransack everything. Take it all. It's yours now because you've been obedient thus far. Get all this stuff and it's going to be yours. We also are able to spoil God when we become saved. In Galatians chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 22, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is the... Now listen to these nine elements of the fruit of the Spirit. I know we did a study on these, didn't we? I hope you remember that. I hope you didn't sleep through all of it. But we did a study on the nine different elements of the fruit of the Spirit, that all these are available to us. Keep this in mind. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, none of these are yours. None of these. Not even one of them. All of these come by only one means. These come by the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. These come only by believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. So let me read them to you and think about these. The fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. God said literally when you become a child of the King, when we believe in Him and become a child of God, we spoil God, and that's the spoil that we get. Wow, could there be anything more precious for God to give us and to allow us to experience by becoming a child of God than those nine elements right there? Now, he could have added a bunch of gold and silver in there, but that's just going to burn away one day. That's not going to be able to bring us true contentment in life. Because listen, at the end of the day, I know there's going to be happiness that's going to come from having a lot of wealth or a lot of toys, but that's eventually going to fade away, isn't it? I mean, I don't know that money, even though I wished I had some, I don't know that money's going to be the thing that's going to keep us happy, is it? Why? Because some of the richest people in the world were asked this question: what is it that you want now that you've got all the money that you could ever want? And the response is this: I want one more dollar. Because you're never satisfied. There's always that desire for wanting more and more and more. So there's never that moment of true contentment. The only way we're going to truly be content is having these nine elements that God brings us in the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm thinking, what better thing could God do than say, here, because you believe and trust in me, you're my child, I'm going to let you spoil me, and this is what you're going to get. Not that we're literally taking anything from God, but you know what I'm saying. There are benefits and privileges to being saved by the blood of Jesus. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It is so much more than that, and it's so sad that folks don't really grasp that. Such a deep relationship that we can have with God. Those that get saved and literally wait on Christ to come back, or waiting on death to know heaven awaits me, how sad it is to miss out on a beautiful relationship that you could have with God. And it's kind of like entering into that land. This land they entered into is not really like a symbol of salvation. But this land is kind of like, when we do get saved, receiving these blessings and these benefits and all these wonderful things from God that are contained within that relationship. The reason I don't like to say that the land of Canaan is a symbol of salvation is because you can actually leave Canaan and go back out, which they did. You can leave Canaan. I'm not leaving salvation. That was locked in, brother, and that's locked in for eternity. It's not going anywhere. But I tell you what can go somewhere. I tell you what can go south: the relationship that you have with God. You may, when you get saved, you, like Scotty said in that passage, you're sealed forever. You're sealed to the day of redemption. You're sealed to the day He comes back to redeem you. We are saved, and there's nothing going to change that. But I tell you what can be changed is the relationship you have with Christ can be affected by the things that you do. Salvation, we don't have a whole lot to do with that. It's not really dependent on us. What is salvation dependent on? It's dependent on what Christ has already accomplished and our belief basically in that and faith in that. But the relationship after salvation becomes very conditional based on what you and I choose to do. So here we are. Let's go back. We've got Israel going into this land. The wars are over. The battles are over. Now a brand new war breaks out. It's what do we do now that everything's been conquered? What do we do now that everything's been accomplished? What do we do? Because we're not fighting anymore. We don't need to get saved every day. We get saved once. So once we get saved, what do we do now? What happens next? What do we do with this relationship that we have with Christ? Well, I'm going to give you a few things here to keep note of that can happen once we've entered into that land. The first thing that can happen is this, is that we can abuse the land. 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 21 says this, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah unto the land that had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she shall keep her Sabbath and the to the full 70 years. So there were 70 years. Here's let me break it down for you. Here's what happened. God said, I'm going to give you this land, but every 7th year, I want you to let the land rest. Don't worry about stirring up, cultivating the land. Let the land rest. Let it be a Sabbath year for this land of Canaan that I've given you. So every 7th year, you don't plant, you don't reap. You've got enough in a storehouse. I'm going to provide for you. You let the land rest. So they went by all those years, 490 years. That's every 7th year. 70 Sabbaths have accumulated. You know how many they actually let the land rest? 0. God was irate. God said, you have not let the land rest. What happened? What happened to the people that the wars are finally over and they're free? They're in the land, just like us in America. Eventually, the war was over and the land had been given and we had this country of ours. Now, what do we do with what we've got? If we're not careful, we can abuse the freedom that we have. And I think we've done that here, haven't we, in America? They did it there. They abused the land and they had accumulated 70 Sabbath years. And that's why God said, I'm going to allow you to be taken into captivity for guess how many years? 70 years. Why? So that the land can rest and you're not going to be able to come in here and mess up what I'm doing. So God allowed them to be taken into captivity for 70 years so the land could rest for those 70 years. And I'm thinking that's exactly why God made the people, why He allowed them to be taken into captivity is because they abused the freedoms that God had given them. Do you abuse the freedom that God has given you? Do we take for granted the relationship that we have with God? Do we feel like, well, it's okay for me to go and do this or to go and do that? It's okay for me to choose to be selfish in this area or that area because I'm saved. I'm still going to heaven. It don't matter really what I do. I know that I'm going to be in heaven one of these days. So we abuse the relationship with God. We take advantage of the fact that once saved, always saved, and we do whatever we want to do, and we abuse the freedom that God has given us. You know what we're doing? Every time we sin, and I'm just as guilty as anybody of sin, but every time we sin, you know what we're literally doing? We're literally going to Jesus Christ, the very one, the Son of God, that died on a cross for our sins. We're going up to Him and we are slapping Him in the face every time we sin against Him. And I'm saying, I'm so thankful that you died on a cross for my sins. I'm thankful that because of your blood and your death, I'm going to be in heaven one day. But I'm going to choose to do what I want to do while I'm here and while I'm in control. I'm going to do my thing. Wow. Preacher, is that what we're really doing? That's exactly what we're doing. It's not a matter of us thinking we know what's best. It's we are completely opposing God's will. When we sin, when we consciously sin, we choose to disobey what God's telling us to do. We battle against the Holy Spirit. We battle against Christ. We battle against the Father. And that's what happens to us. I love eternal security, but we can use it as a crutch and we can abuse that beautiful salvation that we have. And we can act as if, well, I'm going to heaven, so it doesn't really matter what I do. And who's the one that's really being hurt in all this? Well, we know it hurts the heart of God. We know it breaks the heart of God. Any father and mother, it hurts when their children disobey. But greater, we're the ones that are going to suffer because of it. God's not suffering because we choose to abuse the freedom He's given us. Does it make God hurt or be in worse shape? No. Is God going to be in more pain? No. We're the ones that suffer because we choose to abuse the freedoms that God's given us. Here in America, over the years since we have been deemed free, look at the abuse that the people have done, that we have done. I know we've got to include all of us in here because we all live in America. Reigns on the just and the unjust. But look at the abuse that we've put this country through because we thought we are the greatest power on the face of the earth. No nation or country can match our power and our strength. So we're going to do whatever we want to do. We're going to vote in whatever we want to vote in. We're going to say and we're going to be whatever we want to be. I can make you start calling me whatever I want you to call me today. Amen? We abuse the freedoms that we have. And you know what is sad? It's what I want to talk about next. If we're not careful, what's going to happen? We're going to lose it. We're going to lose it. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, this is talking about rebellion. It says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. It's talking about King Saul. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also, listen to this, this just makes you cringe. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Wow. That's heavy. That's heavy. He didn't say that God is rejecting you and he's not going to love you anymore. You're not going to be his child anymore. No, it says, but the privileges and the opportunities that God had in store for you, the spoil of the land that God had for you, he has taken that away from you because you've chosen to abuse what God has blessed you with and what God has given you. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Why? Because they chose sin. Because they chose selfishness over obeying God. Did God stop loving Adam and Eve? No. God even killed an animal to make clothes for them and to cover their nakedness. But God did kick them out of the Garden of Eden. They weren't allowed to be there anymore. And I think about those things that we are already losing in America. We're slowly losing this freedom and that freedom and this freedom and that privilege and that right. Why? Because we're a selfish people. Because we want what we want. Because as a whole, we refuse to go back and get on our knees and thank God because He brought the freedom that we experience today. He put it in the hearts of people to stand and to give their lives for this freedom. I'm thankful for the people that have fought. I'm thankful for those that have sacrificed way more than I will ever sacrifice for this country. But it saddens me that we see so many folks that live in our country that abuse that and take advantage of that, and because of that, if we're not careful, we're going to lose even more than we have right now. Now, relating to the Christian walk, you're not going to lose your salvation, thank God. Nobody's going to take that away. Bible says it takes a stronger man to come into the house and kick someone out in order for him to take possession. So someone's going to have to be stronger than the Holy Spirit if I'm going to become unsaved. Holy Spirit's in here. If you're saved, He's in you. Somebody's got to be bigger, stronger, badder than the Holy Spirit and come in there and kick him out in order to take possession of you. And listen, there's nobody bigger, badder, stronger than the Holy Spirit of God. So thank God salvation will not be taken away from you. But I'm going to tell you what will be taken. Those nine elements of the fruit of the Spirit will be taken from you and I if we continue to abuse the freedoms and the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. If I continue to think, well, because I am saved, I can just go my merry way and I can be wherever I want to be. I can say whatever I want to say and it doesn't really matter. Oh, but it does matter. It affects that personal relationship that we have with Christ. And again, God's not going to be the one to suffer. Who's going to be the one to suffer? We're going to be the ones to suffer because of that selfishness. And we're going to lose that joy and that peace. David sinned against God. What happened? He lost that joy. When he prayed, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You lose your joy. I remember we used to golf years ago. We used to go around, well, we'd really just chase the balls around in the woods because that's where I'd be most of the time with the sand trap. But we'd joke at each other, and after you'd swarped, we swarp the ball. You swarp it several times and maybe it goes 10 yards and you look over at your buddy and you say, now don't lose your joy. Don't lose your... You're about to lose your joy. Our joy can be taken from us along with peace and gentleness and goodness. And did you notice faith is in that list too? Faith. Wow. We can lose these things that make us who we are in Christ if we're not careful. So we can abuse it, we can lose it, or what else can we do with it? I want to leave you on a positive note, amen? We can build it. How do you like that? You can build on that foundation. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We can abuse it, we can lose it, or we can choose to say, you know what, I'm going to build on this foundation in my relationship to Jesus Christ. The children of Israel had a choice to make. They could say, let's build this to be a great nation that believes in God, that follows God. We in America can choose to do the same thing. I can't make everybody else honor God, but I can choose to be one. As the youth group decided, I'm going to stand and I'm going to be one that's going to believe in God. And hopefully that will be an example to those people in my family, where I work, where I go to school, at my church, that I'm going to choose to stand and be counted as a believer in Jesus. In our relationship with Christ, we can choose to say, I'm going to abuse my salvation. I'm going to abuse that relationship that I have because of my salvation. And I can take a chance at losing that beautiful joy and peace and happiness and contentment. Or I can say, I'm going to do everything in my power, God, from today until the day I see you to build my relationship with you. When my works are tried by fire, and they're going to be, oh, you better know the Scripture has confirmed it. I want to be able to have a lot of things to lay down at the feet of Jesus. I want a lot of gold, silver, and precious stones to lay down at His feet. I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm selfish. I'm not going to be able to do that if I'm greedy. I'm not going to be able to do that if I allow pride to control me. I'm not going to be able to do that if I harbor anger and resentment or jealous or envy towards somebody else. I can't build upon that foundation of Christ as long as I harbor that kind of life. I can't make you do what I want you to do. But I sure can choose what this old boy does. Everybody else in the world may not be doing what you want them to do. Goodness, if I was the Lord, I'd done wiped us out a million times over, wouldn't you? I'd have had to clean my house out, my own house out too. Kick me out. I don't even like me at times. Amen? But if we choose to say, you know something, quit worrying about everybody else. Does it do you any good to worry about everybody else? Well, but they just don't see it the way I do. Well, you can't make them change. What you can do is you can change you. You can change you. You can change you. And we can start that today. We can all start today and say, today, July 4th, 2021, almost noon. I'll get you out of here by noon, thereabouts. I choose to change me today. And I'm going to start. I'm going to be different. I want to build on my relationship with Christ. I'm not going to let these outside voices and influences cause me to be swayed in my relationship. I'm not going to abuse this precious gift of salvation that's been given to me. I'm not going to lose the relationship that I have with God. You know, a man and woman could be married and make commitment and vows to each other and live in the same house and have zero relationship. It happens because I counsel them a lot. You can be saved and have zero relationship with God. Let's choose today to build on it. Stand with me. We're going to pray and get in our invitation. Father, as we come today, Lord, Wow, let this be a pivotal point in our relationship with you. First off, if there's anybody in the house today that's not saved, I pray right now the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, would be all over them. They wouldn't be able to leave the house today until they get things right. And God, those of us that are saved, I pray that today we will step out of those pews and make our way to this altar, God. And we'll get on our face before you and we'll surrender ourselves to you and say, God, I'm choosing to not abuse that relationship I have with you anymore. I don't want to lose those elements of the fruit of the Spirit, God. I don't want to lose those things. But God, I want to build my relationship with you. You and I start, God. You and I start today building my life to be a reflection of you. Forgive us of our sins, God. Bring us to a new starting point with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.